a growing family because you were a Mayo.
That's right. In other words, it's just like a big fraternity. Okay. Ex-Mayo men, if you come to a community and contact them, they receive you with open arms. Okay.
So you looked them up before you came?
I checked names in my roster of Mayo Clinic fellows.
Was it anything like you anticipated in North Carolina as far as the...
Well,
your son's
father. I ran into an interesting thing there, that the Jewish community was very suppressed. In other words, it was a real Bible Belt community, Charlotte, North Carolina. And I made several contacts. As a matter of fact, there was a Rabbi Frankel there who subsequently became the rabbi in Mount Lebanon.
Temple Emmanuel.
Yes.
I remember.
And he told us, too, about what the situation was with the Jewish community. Then we met a husband and wife. She was a gynecologist, and she told us that she took care of all the socialites in Charlotte, North Carolina, and they treated her like one of the maids. In other words, they'd have a party or something, and if they'd invite her, she'd be out in the outer dining room, whatever it was.
Now, was she Jewish?
Yeah, well, yes. Oh.
So she was, there were class distinctions and religious distinctions.
Definitely.
So you'd been considered
for
your son.
I even went so far as to talk to a physician who wanted me to join him in his practice now. But when I saw all this, and I wasn't so sure that my son would fit into a regular school, mm-hmm. and he backed off. Mm-hmm. Besides, we were there in the month of June. If you think this was hot and humid, it was twice as bad down there.
Yes. You have to learn to live there.
Yeah.
And I imagine...
Beautiful city.
It is. Yeah. I imagine there are very many real class distinctions, economic distinctions.
It was a real Bible Belt. Mm-hmm.
So you picked up some of your colleagues in your search for places for your son.
Right.
Some of your colleagues. Have you kept up with them by mail, by letters, or meeting them at meetings, looking for them at meetings?
Well, remember now, I'm going to be 82 years old in October.
That's beautiful.
And a lot of them have faded away.
But in the past, when you
when I was out in California, there was a fellow there who came from Minneapolis, mm-hmm. originally, and he was fellow at the Mayo Clinic, and I, of course, contacted him, and I spent a couple of nice evenings with him, mm-hmm. his family. Then there was another fellow in Los Angeles. Spent some time with, but you know, these things have faded during the years.
But did you ever think, gee, I wonder what happened
to
this one or that
or
the other one? Yes.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Be nice to have some kind of Rolodex.
You know, the Mayo Clinic Alumni Association has an international meeting once a year, and I've gone back to several of them. The last one we went to was in Scottsdale, Arizona, mm-hmm. and my wife complained. She says, we're the oldest ones here.
Well, that's all right. Did you see any people who you had known at that meeting?
Yes.
Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm. A few years before, we'd been in Montreal, and I saw many more. Mm-hmm. Then, now they're having, this year they're having a meeting in San Diego, which I'd like to go to, but I don't know, I convinced my wife.
In the winter?
No, it's in March. Well, it's...
Yeah, we still have time. You
San Diego.
I've never been there. Okay, so the only thing that you could think of that you might have wanted to do differently was perhaps to stay at Mayo.
Yeah, or when I was out in California, I was very attracted to that San Francisco area, and there was one community that was, the name of the community was Los Gatos, L-O-S-G-A-T-O-S. That's that. It was between Santa Cruz and San Jose. It went between. It was a, like Switzerland. It was a community with, surrounded by mountains. And most of the people there were retired Army, Navy personnel, artists, folk. And they needed a doctor there. It was very attractive. But as I said, my wife said, who's going to spend all that money to come out and see me?
That's one of the difficulties when one has family. When you chose to remain in Pittsburgh, were there certain things here in the practice that were unique that you may not have had in other places had you gone? Even no. California, no.
No, I had to start out from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I knew a lot of people, and I knew people.
But in the years of your practice, were there certain things that were in Pittsburgh that you may have thought, gee whiz, if I had gone somewhere else, I wouldn't have had this kind of either contacts, recognition, status, because you were very well recognized and regarded in Pittsburgh.
You mean,
as
could
a
I
professional.
Anticipate those things?
No, would you, did you, well, as you think back, of what it meant to you to be here
what
as a practicing physician.
What it meant to be here was mainly that I was near where my parents were.
I see.
Take care of them.
Mm. How about your sisters? Were you in close relationship with them?
Not particularly.
No. Okay. I just wondered if you have any thoughts or views of the Pittsburgh community in terms of the Jewish, your connections in the Jewish community. Your wife was active. I don't think you were active.
Well, I did get into the Jewish Family and Children's Service.
Oh, really?
Of course, immediately I was put on about five different committees. And I said, no way can I handle this and practice medicine.
Mm-hmm.
So I resigned.
So you were on the board. Do you remember when you were on the board?
Good question.
You don't remember.
I'm trying to think of who the executive director was. They brought him here from St. Louis.
That wasn't Nathan Goodman.
Yes.
It wasn't when Nathan Goodman was here. That's interesting.
Matter of fact, I took care of the boy.
Mm-hmm.
So that I was on that. I've been on committees to help raise funds for Rhoda Shalom Temple. I was quite active with an organization called the League for Emotionally Disturbed Children. I was president of that.
Mm-hmm.
Of course,
is that still existing?
Well, it was absorbed into United Way.
Is that in any way connected with the home in Shady Avenue?
No.
This was emotional.
The League for Emotional Disturbed Children.
Mm-hmm.
And things developed from that. We had for example, my wife and I were able to get a school started for emotionally disturbed children called Technoma.
Oh, yes, I know.
This is an interesting story because we were members of Rhoda Shalom Temple. My wife requested a space to have a school there. They refused. And my in-laws were members of Rhoda Shalom, but they were also members of synagogue up on Shady Avenue.
Tree of Life?
No.
Mm-hmm.
No. Down. Polzak, that's it. Polzak. And the rabbi at that time was a wonderful man. His name was Shapiro.
Oh, yes. Dr. Joseph Shapiro.
That's the man. Mm-hmm. And so my father-in-law had done some work for the synagogue there. company installed, he was an engineer, mm-hmm. installed an air cooling system for them. And he was very close with Rabbi Shapiro at that. So we went and talked with Rabbi Shapiro about it, and he said that he would talk to his brotherhood, sisterhood. He did, came back, told us, how's it there? And not only that, but he said that their van would provide transportation, and my wife said to him, some of these kids may bring a lunch and has ham in it. So forth. He says, our sisterhood will provide a hot lunch.
Oh, my.
Did all this.
Isn't that beautiful? No wonder he was so well-liked.
Yeah. And Technoma was then amalgamated with Craighouse.
Craighouse.
So there's still Technoma Craighouse.
Yes, I remember yeah. Technoma.
It's still, it's over on Highland Avenue where the United Jewish Fund Federation made a mistake and tried to put a community center in there.
Oh, yes, that's on Negley no. and another street there. They have yeah. a Stanford. Negley and Stanford.
Yeah, well, that's
the
it.
Well, oh, is it there
that's
now?
Technoma Craighouse.
Oh, good. And they're still operating in terms of emotional
yes.
problems?
It's interesting because when we started Technoma, age limit was 12. My son had just passed his 12th birthday,
oh.
so he was not eligible for
oh,
that.
No.
But then he was at Technoma Craighouse for about 4 years, 5 years.
Hmm. Do they have a big group now there?
I don't know.
It's interesting. Why would Rebbe Shalom have turned down? Do you have any idea? Because, you know, they're very wanting to do things, and it's
well,
just interesting more
in now,
all places.
And, you know, we're trying to do something with them now, and it's been very slow going.
It is.
We've been trying to establish a committee, members of the temple,
mm-hmm.
to be in an advisory capacity to families with handicapped
yes.
kids. Advisory in the sense that if a facility where they are goes out of business or something else goes wrong,
right.
that they would help to come up with new ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been working on it for 2 years, still 10 years.
They don't, this is the board?
Yeah.
The rabbi didn't go to bat for you.
Well, he's the one that first came to my wife to discuss this sort of a thing. But
people don't want to be bothered, do they?
Yeah.
Are they not aware of the issues? Or
I don't know.
It's very upsetting that they won't consider.
Yeah.
Because we as Jews have always been very concerned for those
yeah,
who need help in various ways.
Yeah.
Hmm. But that was an unusual thing for the rabbi to Shapiro to have said, don't worry about the lunches.
Right.
Don't bring in the ham, but we'll provide it. That
That's
was
right.
beautiful.
And transportation.
Yes, that was beautiful. And they did that as long as it was at that synagogue.
Yeah, Paul Zimmer.
That's beautiful. That must have been a blow to Rodef Shalom that the Orthodox synagogue would have accepted.
Yeah, it didn't seem
not only did they allow you in, but they gave you things.
It didn't seem to bother me.
No. Mm-hmm.
Was the school housed in directly in the synagogue?
No, no. There's a
there's an
adjacent small building where the I think they have their Hebrew class.
Okay.
I think it's named after Rabbi Shalom.
Yeah, can I give you a drink or something?
No,
Coke
thank
or?
You. No, thank you. Tell me, you told mentioned that you have plans when and if you sell the house. I'm sure when it will be, rather than if. That you move to Florida.
Yes.
Meantime, one of the things you also said was that since your retirement, one of the things you really enjoy doing is this teaching on Monday, and Mondays. And I just wondered, what kind of plans do you have professionally
when
you move to
Florida? I have plans.
Do you?
I'm going to be a volunteer physician for the senior citizens outpatient department. Mm-hmm. It's called the Friendship Center in Sarasota. Mm-hmm. And this is a building which senior citizens come to have lunch, and dance, and one wing is an outpatient clinic. Uh-huh.
So it's a daycare center kind of setup, rather than a residence.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And you've already set this up?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Beautiful. That's beautiful. And how about in terms
I'm going to do their cardiology.
Yes, I assume so. They're very fortunate. But on in terms of what you were doing here, which was working with professionals in your field, would there be anything that you would be doing there in terms of teaching other young men?
No.
There's so much to give.
Well, give it to the patients.
You give it to the patients, that's true. Okay. I just wonder, is there anything else that you'd like us to know about you that we haven't yet covered?
I don't want to talk to you about my golf game.
No, no. No, just about yourself or your thoughts. So you've been here a long time.
Yeah,
office. And
I, many times stop and think about all my friends and associates and so forth here, and pulling away from that. But on the other hand, on Longboat Key, there are a number of people that live there who I've been friendly with, and I've been patients of mine here, and so that I won't feel completely lost. But I've been going down there now for 18 years.
So you've met a lot of people.
Yeah.
How about in terms of, I bet it was not too easy to retire from your office. Was that a difficult procedure for you?
Yeah, it was hard.
Going out after so many years.
It was hard, but I planned it in a fashion that the last 5 years that I was in practice, I stopped making hospital rounds. I'd still, if some patient was critical for me to go in and see them to get through something, I'd go in.
Because they knew you from previous?
Oh, yeah. I'd taken care of them. And
yes.
Like, I remember a situation where this man had to have coronary bypass, and before he signed the paper, he wanted me to sit and see him and make sure that...
That you okayed him.
Yeah, right.
Yes, he had great confidence.
Right.
And it's very reassuring.
So, things like this, and knowing where anything I want, I know where to get it. Like my son had to have cataract surgery and hernia surgery, so we brought him up here for part of December and then January and February this year, and I knew who the surgeon was going to be in both instances, and I was permitted to come into the hospital and be in the recovery room with him, which was very important. And of course, it was good for those people that we were there. These are things that I probably won't have in Sarasota.
Also, you were accustomed to going every day to an office full time.
Yes.
And then you don't?
Yes. Well, as I said, I stopped making hospital rounds, and then I cut down to 4 days in the office, and I cut down to 3 days. Over the last 5 months that I was in practice, every time I'd see a patient, I'd tell them I was not going to be there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But, like here, I go up on Murray Avenue and go on a Giant Eagle. And
you meet them all.
Or,
pushing the carts.
Yeah. Or walking on the street. Or,
yes.
I'll be in a restaurant and somebody. Moray's restaurant on Main Street.
Which one?
Moray's on Craig Street. In King Edward Apartments.
Oh, yes.
Anyhow, we're sitting there having dinner. look around, and all of a sudden, here's a woman pushing her husband in a wheelchair. He's an old patient of mine. She brought him over to see.
To meet you. That's very nice.
Then,
that's a nice feeling.
Then the woman at the next table is saying, he comes over and gives me a hug.
Ah, that's nice. That's the satisfaction.
Well, that,
the rewards of having invested so much of yourself.
Yeah.
Do you ever go into your office?
No.
Do some of your colleagues call?
No.
Do they maintain contact?
No.
Is this the usual way that it's finished?
I don't know that all offices are that way, but that's what I'm out of it, I'm out of it.
Tell me, how's it going to be for you being in Florida and your son is somewhere in Pennsylvania?
No, he's in Virginia.
Virginia.
Well, the only difference will be instead of flying nonstop from here to Charlottesville, Virginia, I'll fly to Charlotte, North Carolina, and then take a commuter over to Charlottesville. It'll take me an extra hour.
Yeah, which isn't so terrible. Mm-hmm. Do you stay there a couple of days when you go to visit one?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I'm moving down a week from tomorrow. I'll go down that morning and come back the evening the following day. Mm-hmm.
Is he aware that you're going to be moving from this home?
Yes.
Does it disturb him at all?
No, he wants to go to Florida.
Oh, he wants to go to Florida. Uh-huh. Would you consider trying to find a place near in Florida for him?
Well,
it's difficult, I guess.
Before we settled this place where it is now, in October will be 20 years since it's there.
Wow, that's home. That's home for him.
My wife and I spent 2 weeks going up and down the Atlantic coast from Maine to Florida looking at places.
And this was the best?
Well, it's the kind of a place, it's not an institution.
Yes.
It's a
farm, you
said. Like a kibbutz.
Oh.
And they have volunteers that come from all over the world.
To help out?
Well, they spend a minimum of a year, sometimes they stay on for 2 years, 3 years.
Uh-huh.
And it's not like an institution where people come in and work on shifts.
Mm-hmm.
They're there, they have 2 days a week off, but the 5 days you're there, it's an all day, a night job.
And these volunteers are coming?
Yeah.
These volunteers are coming from different places because they've had some experience of their own, they want to help out?
A lot of them, most of them are college graduates, and many of them are trying to find themselves. But,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were.
Would you share the name of the kibbutz that your son is in?
It's called Innisfree. Innisfree.
Is it a private setup?
Yes.
It is.
Yeah.
So they don't depend on funds from
no.
state or anything. That's good.
This was named after a poem written by a poet by the name of Yeats, Y-E-A-T-S.
Yes. Well known poet.
As you come into the village, there's a big sign that says, "Together we can make it."
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Well, I have asked Walt, do you have any other questions to ask you? But I want to thank you. It has been really a pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you.
And I hope that when you go on to Florida, you'll be in good health and joy, and you'll be a wonderful help to those people at the H.S.
Mission. Shirley said very nicely that I'd like to just thank you for everything that she's been screaming about.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
I would have, with Kaiser Permanente, I would have been
this. Yeah, Kaiser was really good. We're just adding a few more things as we start to talk when the tape was finished, and Dr. Levinson wanted to tell us another little story. We were talking about Rabbi Shapiro, who was so well loved by the people in his synagogue, and Dr. Levinson had another little story that we thought would be good.
The dedication of the Technoma School was attended by leaders of the community, in both the Gentile and the Jewish community. And sitting next to us was a Mrs. Leland Hazard, who was a prominent member of Gentile society. And after Rabbi Shapiro made his talk, she said to me, "If I had a minister like that, I'd go to church every Sunday."
Oh, wasn't that nice? I hope you told him that.
Yeah,
because that would really be a beautiful thing. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah, I thought
that was a real compliment to him. Good. Well, that was a story worth hearing. I'm glad that you told it to us, because it's beautiful. And it's a compliment. There aren't too many. I just, one other thing though, how did the name come Technoma? Was this something you decided?
No, there was a woman who whose idea it was to call it Technoma. I don't know.
You
how
don't
she
know
came
the origin.
With, no.
Now, the other thing I wondered is that whether UJF would have been interested in supporting this kind of institution, because we really had no places for Jewish children to go.
Well, we never approached UJF.
We never approached.
But this was not solely Jewish children.
No, no.
No, but still, there were Jewish people who were interested in its use.
Yeah, we didn't ask for anything.
Mm-hmm.
Entirely self-supported, with generous donations of time and so forth by people like Rabbi Shapiro.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And when it came in under, then it came under United Way when it went with Craig Technoma. Is that it?
I don't know. Craig House was also an independent entity.
It wasn't.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what the final arrangement was as far as the financial support.
I see. Did you visit it?
No.
But you know they took over, carrying on. Very good.
Dr. Levinson, how many students did they start with?
I think there were about 10.
It grew considerably?
Well, Technoma,
it was growing.
The Craig House did grow. I don't know how many they had. But as with this type of facility, it's much better if it's small.
Yes.
Gets too large and...
For the sake of the people who live there.
Right.
Right. You know, in Cleveland, they have homes where they, instead of a place like this, where they live in a house, maybe six young adults, not little ones, young adults.
And yeah, well, at Innisfree, the minimum age is 18.
It is 18. Oh, that's good, because that's the most difficult route to find places.
Right. The younger ones, there are many facilities. But when they get into their late teens, then it becomes a problem.
Yes. And that's when parents need the most help for and then into young manhood, too.
That's right.
Just to have a place to go. That's good. Okay, I think we're really finished now.
Dr. Levinson, any questions I have? Did you have a picture of yourself?
A picture? I think there's some pictures around somewhere.
Uh-huh.
Could you send me a picture? Or if you could,
find we would return
now,
it
would
to you.
Fine.
Let me look and I'll
see.
All
right.
Very
good. Thank you.
I have one downstairs. It's a very large one.
That's fine.
Okay.
We'll give it back.
That was taken when I had more hair.
Ah. Sorry. And lighter. Another color.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Darker.
Darker, right. Thank you.